All right, I am a minute late, and I apologize. I was waiting for the choir to sing. Not really, that's a little joke. Let me get situated here, and I might get a signal from Kim that it's actually on and working. That would be good. I see where Abigail is on, and Tim and Jenny Kirby is watching, so I guess that's good. I guess we're on. We'll take it as that we're working. As far as being on Facebook, but I want to welcome you tonight. This is a preacher study, and this is my study, and I spend a lot of time up here just thinking and studying and meditating and trying to find out what God has for us for next Sunday or next Wednesday or Wednesday night, whatever the case might be. And I'll tell you a little story. When we were working on this study last fall, and it was a mess. I mean, there was holes in the floor you could drop a football through, and there's old white beadboard, some kind of paneling, and I mean, you could just touch it and dust would fall out of it. I mean, it was in pretty bad shape, but it started to come together, you know, and we were working on it and everything. And I remember being up here one day, and I just had some time to myself, and I was looking out the window here, and I just thought to myself, me and the Lord are going to have some good times up here. And we have. And so tonight I get to share a little bit of that with you. So I want to welcome you to my study. And if you are faithful to Mount Lebanon on Wednesday night, you know we're going through the book of Galatians, and we're going to start right there in just a few minutes. I want our members to know that we're working on the text messaging system, trying to get that working just a little bit better. So we realize that that's important, that we are able to communicate that way. We do have the phone tree, and that seems to be working good. If you know somebody that maybe would like to view in on Facebook, but maybe they don't have it or don't know how to get it up, you might have to help some folks be able to do that. And so I'm not going to get on here and spend a long time talking about the virus and the way things are, and you know, it's changing every day. We just need to pray that the Lord would help us and give us wisdom, and we would know what to do. And as I preached last Sunday morning, that we would not be captivated by a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I think we need to be projecting that and not fear, and get caught up, you know. Those of you that are a little bit older, and I'm in that group as well now, you probably remember Y2K, and man, it was easy to jump on the bandwagon, and this is going to be the end of everything as we know it. Well, it wasn't, but a lot of people got caught up in all that, and so we're just going to take it day by day. We're going to be cautious. We're going to be careful. We're going to try to do our part to make this be as painless as possible as far as the church and our ministry and what we do. So we just really need to pray and ask the Lord to help us right now. We probably won't meet together on Sunday morning. I can't see us doing that, but I am going to talk with the deacons, and we're going to get together, and or probably not get together, but talk with one another, and you know, just make sure we're meeting everybody's needs and able to carry on. So usually on Wednesday night, what we have at church, we have a lot of prayer requests. Of course, we have a little bit of singing and things like that. Of course, not going to get any of that. And if I started singing, you'd stop watching. So we're not going to do that. But I am going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I want to encourage you to get your Bibles out. I see a lot of people joining, and we're thankful for that. I want you to get your Bible out. I want you to read along. This is what I think. It doesn't matter what I think. Everybody thinks something about everything. What matters is what the Bible says, and that's the thrust of our ministry. This is what the Bible says. And so we have been studying in the book of Galatians. This is the 14th lesson. We're in chapter 4, verse number 12. But before I get started, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us and be with us tonight as we study His Word. So I'm going to pray. Father, we come this evening, and I want to thank You for Your many, many blessings that You've given to us. And Lord, that we're able to have this avenue to share your word. And I pray that you would help me tonight, help me to have freedom of thought, and that your word would edify and lift us up and help us in our daily lives, and that we might have a better understanding of thy word. And I pray you'd help me to say the things that you'd have me to say, and that it would be a blessing and a help to God's people. And Lord, as we come tonight, I ask that you would be with our nation, that you would help us, that you would heal those that are sick, help us to be salt and light to a hurting world, and help us to look for your soon return, because we realize you promised in your word all along, and that has never changed, that you'll come. And Lord, we look forward to that. So help us, and help us to see souls saved for your honor, your glory. And we'll thank you for all you do. Help just now. I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. All right. Galatians chapter number 4. I'm going to get into this just like I would if I was doing a radio broadcast, or if I was sitting in a small group. And we're just going to look down through these verses here. And I'm going to start in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 12. And like I said, I really want you to get your Bible, and I want you to read along and study along. If you've got a pen, a pencil, a notepad, you might hear something you want to write down or check me out later on. But Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible said, "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you." And so we're going to read, and we're going to study those verses, verse 12 down through verse number 18. And like I said, at Mount Lebanon, we've been studying the book of Galatians for several months now. Now, I want to do just a little review. If you're just tuning in tonight, and just say a few short things about the book of Galatians. Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul. Chapter 1, verse number 2, and I've quoted this many, many times, but chapter 1, verse number 2, "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." Now, Galatia is a place as well as a people. And it is a place. Now, don't laugh at my little sketch here, but just for the purpose, just to get it in your mind, what is this talking about in the Bible? Where is that today? So, if I bring this up, and like I said, don't laugh. If Jerusalem is way down here, if we were looking at a Bible map, and Macedonia, you've heard people talk about Macedonia in the Bible, be up here. Here, over here is Italy. Jerusalem, Italy, two well-known places. Corinth, we've all heard of Corinth, a little island down here at the bottom. But Galatia is a region, and these places we're going to read about, Antioch, Derbe, Iconium, Lystra, they're all close together. This Galatia is a region, and I just wanted to show you that just to get it in your mind. These places all being close together, it would sort of be like if you're local, talking about Boone, Blowing Rock, Mountain City. We're not talking about days and days of journey, and we're talking about walking to these places in the same day. They were all Galatia, the churches of Galatia. There was more than one church there. So Galatia is a place. Galatia is also a people. They would be referred to as the Galatians, all the people that lived in that region, sort of like sometimes if you're from North Carolina, oh, they're North Carolinians or Tar Heels. They all live together in the same place. And so it is a place, and it is also a people. Now, the Galatian people came to Greece 3 centuries before Christ. They'd been there a long time. They came from the Gauls, and their ancestors would be the people that would inhabit the British Isles later on. You've heard about the Gauls and the Celtic people. Well, this is where these Galatian people come from. So they were not Greeks. They were not Jews. They were their own people. That word is slipping my mind, but they were a unique people. They weren't Greek, and they were not Jewish. So they lived in this area between Italy and Jerusalem, right in the middle there. That's where Paul had went and established churches. And so the purpose of the book of Galatians is in chapter 1, verse number 6. Chapter 1, verse number 6. He said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." So after the Apostle Paul had gone there, after he had established churches in this area, what happened was certain men had come, these Jewish false teachers, and they had come among the Galatian people, and they were teaching two false things. They were teaching, number one, that the Apostle Paul was not a real apostle. And so they're coming along and they're saying, you know, he wasn't there with Peter and James and John and all these fellas. He come along later. He's not a real apostle. Now, I dealt with that in the first chapter, so I'm not going to go back over it. But if you think about that, if they could take away from his apostleship, then that takes away from his teaching. And what they were really attacking was the teaching of the Apostle Paul. What these Jewish false teachers were doing, they were coming along and they were saying, well, yeah, you're saved by faith, but you have to keep the law. You have to do all these things under the Jewish law. You've got to keep the law. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to observe the Sabbath days and the new moons and the ceremonial law and all of these things. They were saying, yeah, but you got faith and that's great, but you got to keep the law. You got to keep the law. And that's what Paul is writing to the Galatians. He's saying, you're not saved by keeping the law. He's saying, when I came and preached to you the first time, I didn't come preaching the law. I come preaching the gospel, and you were saved by believing. Now, I want to go back over to chapter 4, and I'm going to read a couple of verses from last week. Chapter 4 and verse number 9. The Bible said, I'm in chapter number 3. Chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible said over there, "But now, after that ye have known God," he's writing to the Galatians, "or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" He's saying, after you are saved, why do you want to go back and start keeping the law, trying to keep the law? Why do you want to go back into bondage? Verse 10, he said, "Ye observe days and months and times and years." And in verse 11, he said, "I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." And so Paul has clearly taught that these Judaizers that came along, they were preaching another gospel. But then he says in chapter 1, verse number 7, he says, this other gospel is not another gospel. Let me say tonight, there's only one gospel. And so he's warning them. Let me read chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." And so these Judaizers, they come along and they are perverting the gospel and another gospel. Okay, that's what the outline, and you'll have to bear with me. I am having, I'll bet you that's said a million times tonight and in the weeks ahead. Technical difficulties, but little things up on my screen saying low internet connection, but it's fixed. But if you're studying the book of Galatians, there's a little outline. Three things, chapter 1 and chapter number 2, are personal. Paul talks about his apostleship, what I was talking about. They had attacked that. Chapter 3 and chapter 4, what we're in right now, is doctrinal. And chapter 5, chapter 6, what we're coming to, it's practical. So it's a little easy way to break down the book of Galatians. Now, I'm glad to pick up in verse number 12. I'm glad I didn't deal with it last week for those of you that were in church. Thought about just sort of lumping it in, but I'm glad I didn't do that. If I had lumped it in, I would have missed some things. And so, verse number 12. Let's look in our Bibles. Look what it says. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. What does the Bible, do you ever pick up the Bible and you read, you know, what does that mean? What does that mean? Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Now, notice what he says in verse 12, brethren. Now, in verse number 11, when he said, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Y'all are scared me. I don't even know if you're saved. You're wanting to go back under the law. You weren't saved by keeping the law, and now that you're saved, you want to go back under the law, and you want to be in bondage again. He said, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I wonder if you're saved. Well, he says that more for emphasis than he didn't really think they weren't saved, because in verse 12, he says, brethren. But you know, if you ever saw a Christian and they're doing something and you're like, man, I don't even know if they're saved or not, the way they're acting and the things they're saying. That's what Paul was saying to the Galatians. But then he says in verse number 12, he says, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. So he does believe that they were brethren. And of course, that's why he's writing to them. Now, notice what the Bible says. Brethren, I beseech you. Now, what does that mean? Brethren, I beseech you. The beseech there, when we find that in the Bible, it means this. It means to beg or to petition somebody. And it means to ask or pray with urgency. So he is asking them, he's praying, P-R-A-Y, praying them, I beseech you, brethren, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Now, what does that mean? Be as I am, for I am as ye are. Now, if you remember, these Galatian Gentiles were trying to become Jews. They were trying to go back under the law. That's what they were doing. But Paul is reminding them all throughout the book of Galatians that the law does not save you. Keeping the law does not save a person. Now, if you look back in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, and like I said at the beginning, I want you to get your Bible out. It's not what I think. It's what the Bible says. That's what's important. So chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Of course, I can't hear pages turning, but at church I usually wait a second so everybody can find it, because that's important. He said, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And so he's been writing to them. They're trying to go back under the law. And he says, there's no way the law can save you. There's no way that keeping the law can save you. We're saved by faith. Now, in verse number 15, it's interesting. He said, we who are Jews by nature. Paul was a Jew. He was born a Jew, raised a Jew. And then he says, and not sinners of the Gentiles. They were not Jews. And in Bible language, when he said sinners of the Gentiles, he's calling them, they're a bunch of heathens. He said, I'm a Jew, you're a bunch of heathens, but we're all in the same boat. We all need to be saved by the grace of God. That's what he's teaching them and telling them. So we go back over to chapter number 4. He says, be as I am, in verse number 12, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Nowhere do you see that Paul flaunts his Jewishness. He does not say, well, you're Gentile, you are. He doesn't say, since I'm a Jew, I'm a little bit closer to God, my people are in the line of Abraham, or anything like that. He doesn't say to them, well, you may know the Lord, but I really know the Lord more because I'm Jewish. That was the basis of the false teachers. The false teachers were coming along to these Gentile believers, and they were saying, we're Jewish, and we know the Old Testament law, and you really need to add all these things into your faith system. That's what the false teachers were doing. But the Apostle Paul comes along, and he says in verse number 12, he says, I'm just like you are. I'm no better because I'm Jewish. He says in verse number 12, be as I am, for I am as ye are. What Paul is saying there, I'm just like you. Being a Jew doesn't add anything to my relationship with God. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. That's what he's saying. He was saying, he was not saying, come where I am and be Jewish. He was saying, I am where you are. I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved by the grace of God just like you. That is what he's saying in verse number 12 when he says, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Now, I like what the last part of saying, ye have not injured me at all. Now, what he's saying there, he's saying, I don't want your sympathy vote because of what happened to me. You say, what are you talking about? Well, that's what we're going to read about in the rest of these verses, but that's what he's saying to them. I don't want you to just listen because of what happened. So what happened to the Apostle Paul? Let's read on down. Verse number 13. He said, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So in verse number 13 and verse number 14, let me read verse 15. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. What Paul is referring to there, something had happened to him at the very beginning of his Galatian ministry. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles. I'm going to keep my place here in Galatians chapter 4. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 14. And we're going to read over there what happened to the Apostle Paul. What is he talking about when he said, ye have not injured me at all? So in Acts chapter number 14, we're going to read about these places that I showed you on my little kindergarten map here. Sorry about that. But these little places, I just did that. I want you to see these places are very close together. And we're going to read about a place called Iconium and Derbe and Lystra and Antioch. All these places were very close together, like our little towns and our little, in our small counties, and you drive from Blowing Rock to Boone, and then, they're all close together. That's how these places were in the Bible. And so in Acts chapter number 14 and verse number 19, look what the Bible says. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, these places were close together, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So these Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and they stirred up the people, and they got them so riled up that they stoned the Apostle Paul. Now, that was a death sentence in that day and time. That was the way the Jews carried out capital punishment, was by stoning. And so you say, what do you do? What did they do? Well, they picked up rocks. Rocks are everywhere over there. I've never been to the Holy Land, but I've heard people talk about that area. Well, I have been to Crete, and it is very rocky. But anyway, stones are everywhere. They pick up stones, and they throw them, and they kill people that way. That was how they carried out capital punishment. That, you say, that's terrible. Well, it is terrible. They did that to the point that they thought he was dead. So do you think they knew what a dead person looked like? I believe they did. I mean, he must have been a bloody mess. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but if you think about, if you took rocks and just threw them at people, and of course you'd aim for their head, I guess, if you're trying to kill them, and that's what they're doing. And I mean, they did that to the point where they thought, he's dead. We've done what we wanted to do. And they, the Bible said, left him for dead. They drew him out of the city. They drug him out of the city. And thought he was dead. So that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. And he was in Galatia when that happened. Now look at verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. Now, if that had been most people, I wouldn't have went back into that city, you know. I'm going down the road somewhere else. I don't want to go back in there. Something really bad happened to me. But he gets up. He comes back into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. That's just the next town down the road. That's why I showed you that little map. And verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they, look what the Bible says, returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. He went to the very places that had stoned him and thought they had killed him. He didn't run away. He went right back. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. He went right back among those people. He preached the gospel to them. He said, look, we're not going to get through this life without tribulation. And as he's saying that, his face no doubt is disfigured. And, you know, he went back the next day. The Bible says, you know, you see these movies and, you know, the guy's all beat up and, you know, his half his face is hanging off his head. That's what Paul looked like. And he went back to the very people that tried to kill him. And he went back and he preached the gospel to him. Now, here's the thing. When Paul was talking to the Galatians, they knew he could have easily went somewhere else. He could have went back to Jerusalem. He could have went on where he was going towards Europe, towards Italy, towards Asia Minor, all those places. But he did not do that. He went right back to the people that tried to kill him. And he preached the gospel to him, and he stayed, and he ministered to them. And so, go back to Galatians chapter 4, when he says, ye have not injured me at all. And then he goes down through there, and he starts talking about what had happened to him. He doesn't blame them for what happened. He doesn't want their sympathy. He doesn't come along and say, now guys, gals, you really need to listen to me, because you know when I was here before, they about killed me. And I was your pastor then, and you loved me. That's not what he's basing his letter on. Is you need to listen to me because I was hurt here once upon a time trying to preach the gospel. He doesn't say that. He said, you've not injured me at all. I don't want your sympathy vote of what had happened before. But he does remind them of the circumstances. So he tells them, you know, this is what happened. Verse number 13, ye know. See, these are the same people. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. That word infirmity there, it means to be feeble, frail. Can you imagine being stoned and then getting up the next day and going and preaching the gospel? Like I said, no doubt his face is disfigured. He looks terrible, terrible. He has an infirmity. He's feeble. He's frail. We know from other places in the Bible, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And I believe that thorn in the flesh was the injuries that he received from that stoning. And from that point on, it affected his eyes. Now, I've read, and I don't think anybody knows, but, you know, if he'd had injury, probably his eye was disfigured. Maybe pus or watered all the time. You know, it could have looked terrible. I believe it did look terrible. But here he comes the next day, preaching to them, bloody, bruised, mangled, all of those things. And he preaches the gospel to them. Now, you think if somebody looked like they just been beat up, most people wouldn't listen. They think, I'm not sticking around. This guy's in trouble. He's done something wrong. But the Galatians stuck around and listened to what the Apostle Paul had to say. And he ministered among them and established churches. They didn't run away from his infirmity. They didn't run away from him because of what had happened to him. Verse number 14, he said, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despise not. They didn't look at him and say, oh, we hate you, you're ugly, you've been, you know, you deserved what you got. They didn't do that. Look what the Bible says. Ye despise not nor reject it, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. They didn't reject the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They received the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And their reaction was that they wholeheartedly accepted him. And he's reminding them of that. You received me before under bad circumstances. Verse number 16, or verse number 15. He said, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? Now, when Paul went there to begin with, and he preached to them, and they received the gospel message, what the ministry of the Holy Spirit was, there was blessedness. That word blessedness, there was joy, there was happiness, there was peace in their heart, there was fellowship with the Apostle Paul. How wonderful that was. Their little church to begin with, and they'd heard they'd been saved out of being barbarians and heathens and all of this false religion, and man, there's blessedness there. And no doubt many of them at that time said, oh, I'm so happy to know the Lord. I'm so happy to be delivered from my bondage of before. Blessedness. But here in verse 15, he said, where is the blessedness you spake of? Remember back then? Where's all that gone? Now, let me just say something right here. Where false doctrine comes in, the blessedness is gone. The joy, the peace, the happiness. If you get caught up in some kind of false belief about God, the Bible, it doesn't matter. The blessedness that you enjoyed once upon a time will be gone. The Galatians, their joy, their blessedness was gone because they're accepting all these false ideas that's coming in, and it's putting them under bondage. They don't have that freedom in Christ anymore, but now all of a sudden, man, they've lost their blessedness. You say, I've lost my blessedness. Well, what do you believe? If you let some false something come in and take it all away from you, that's what had happened to them. He said, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. They loved him so much that they had said, you know, man, I wish I could give my eyesight to the Apostle Paul. That's what Paul was saying. You would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. Where's all that? That's gone because they had allowed these false doctrines to come in. And where false doctrine comes in, seeds of division, joy is gone. It's bad, bad repercussions when we let false doctrine come in. So the blessedness, they'd received him as an angel of God. They would have plucked out their own eyes. All that's gone now. And Paul says, where is it? Look what he says in verse number 16. And I'm getting ready to close for tonight. But he said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Every true pastor, Bible teacher has experienced that at some time in their ministry. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And I've experienced that. And, you know, I've been doing this a long time. So I'm not, going to name names or anything. But I've had that happen to me. Oh, preacher, we love you so much. We appreciate you. We appreciate the stand you take on the Bible. And we love your preaching and blah, 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 and on and on and on. And then you preach something they don't like. They don't love you so much no more. I've had people that have told me that they love me, but then treat me like an enemy, and all I done was just told them the truth. You can't fault the preacher for telling the truth. You can't hate him, but that's what they've done to the Apostle Paul. He said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And I'm going to quickly go through verse 17 and 18. He said about these false teachers, he said, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yeah, they have an effect on you, but it's not a good effect. These false teachers, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. Let me say something about false teachers. They're only interested in just increasing their flock. They're only interested in getting you to follow along in their error. They're only interested in getting you to follow along and be one of their disciples. Yes, they affect a lot of people, but not well. Not well. And he said that to the Galatians about the false teachers. They had an impact. They had an influence upon the Galatians. They had affected them zealously. You know, some of the Galatians were really getting on board with this going back under the law. and trying to become Jews, but they were Gentiles. And Paul said in verse number 18, he said, but it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. It's good to be zealous. I like to be around zealous, zeal. You know, somebody that's excited about what they're doing. He said, it's good to be affected in a good way, but it's bad to be affected in a bad way. And he's saying about these false teachers, they're affecting you in a bad way. But he says in verse 18, it's good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. You know, some people are really act good when the preacher's around. And that's what Paul was saying. You know, you ought to be what you are all the time, not just when I'm around, not just when the preacher's around. And so we could ask ourselves tonight, and I have been 37 minutes. That's about normal for me. About 40 minutes is about it. That's usually all people can stand. But somebody texted me and said that they were going to watch in their pajamas. So you might be a little more comfortable tonight. But I come down to the end and I think about this. What is it, as we ask ourselves, how does this apply to my life? And it's who I'm listening to affecting me in a good way, a right way, a true way, or is it affecting me in a bad way? The Galatians were being affected in a bad way by false teaching, and it was drawing them away from the Lord. True doctrine will draw you close to the Lord. Bad doctrine will draw you away from the Lord. What are you zealous about? We ought to be zealous about the Lord Jesus Christ. I know there's a lot of talk about everything under the sun. Virus, what's going to happen, all like that. This is a prime opportunity to talk about the Lord. What is the Lord doing in your life? So let's be zealously affected in a good thing. Now, I'm going to close. Let me say, all these previous studies are available on Podbean. That is a podcast app you can download to your phone. And everything this year is already on there. If you say, boy, I really like studying the book of Galatians, it's a great book. And Lord willing, next week we'll be back in chapter 4, verse number 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He said, I'm going to keep on till you get this. And Christ is formed in you. So we love you. I appreciate everybody that's tuned in and listening. I'm going to have a word of prayer and just sort of close out tonight. But thanks for listening. And I hope it's been a blessing. I noticed we had some people away from here, and we're glad you listened in as well. So thank you. Let's just pray one for another. Let's pray for our nation, and then I'll hit the button. That'll be about 40 minutes. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings. Please take the message to be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and may we through our lives draw others to you. And we thank you for all your many blessings you've given to us. Please be with our nation, our people, those that are sick, those that work in hospitals, and the nurses and doctors and people like that. And Lord, we just need wisdom and we need your touch. And I thank you for your word. It brings some normalcy to our lives. And we can just get together on Wednesday night and have a little Bible study this way. What a great opportunity that is. So keep us safe. Watch over us. Help us. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Thanks for watching. Probably be back Sunday, Lord willing.